It's Psalm in your Scofield Bible, page 642. 642. We'll be reading together a few of the verses of this psalm. After we stand, I'll direct you which verses we'll be reading, and we'll read these verses in unison. May we stand, please, all of us standing for the reading of God's Word. And let's read together, first of all, verse 6. Ready? Thou hast laid me in the lowest pit, in darkness, in the deeps. And verse 12. Shall thy wonders be known in the dark, and thy righteousness in the land of forgetfulness? And now verse 18. Lover and friend hast thou put far from me, and mine acquaintance into darkness. And now last of all, verse 9. Mine eye mourneth by reason of affliction. Lord, I have called daily upon thee. I have stretched out my hands unto thee. And let's pray. Father, we're thankful for thy protection, for thy blessing, for thy help. We're thankful for this hour of the week. It rejoices our hearts that we can be with all of these friends, this church family. Many here, of course, years and years and years. And I just somehow envy those who've been here throughout this long period of time, have spanned the ministry of our preacher. We're thankful for each of these, whether here a long time or more recently. Thou hast given us a wonderful church, but Thou hast given us a wonderful book. Help us to hear carefully today the preaching of it, and bless our preacher. In Jesus' name, amen.
As you know, the Sunday morning message is not nearly as long as the Sunday night message. And so I'll ask you, please, for the next about 30 minutes, to give me your undivided attention. This morning I'd like to sort of, if you could imagine us in a little semicircle, like a father would gather the family around a circle, like a coach would gather the team together before the game. I'd like to ask you to sort of gather around me. We go along, and life is so simple. As children and teenagers, it's unfolded, it's uncomplicated. And then with the passing of the years, life's complications set in. I'll be honest with you. I almost hate to see our young people grow up. This morning, his little fingers were sliding pennies and nickels and dimes and quarters under my door. I'd like to say to you parents, there's plenty of room under that door for silver dollars, too. But his little fingers, and maybe it's because of some of the things with some of the people with whom I've counseled this week. But I saw those little fingers, and I said, dear God, it's a shame they have to grow up and face the burdens and complications of life. And I stood there and looked at them as they one at a time with the little fingers under my door and prayed for the little body that was attached to that little hand. I just spent this morning about 20 minutes, I guess, all together. One night this week, all these problems came to my office in one night of counseling between 6 and 10. A 15-year-old girl, member of the church here, pregnant, 15 years old. What chance does she have? Oh, if you just listen to me. And listen to your moms and dads, and listen to your teachers. Nobody's mad at you, kids. Nobody's upset with you. We want to help you. 15 years old. Same night, a mother rolled in my office in a wheelchair, there for years and there for the rest of her life. Multiple sclerosis. no husband, rearing three little children in a wheelchair, from a wheelchair. I marvel that she does it. Same night, a mother with two children. Before she was saved, she got pregnant, gave birth to a baby. And then again, got pregnant, gave birth to a baby. And then she received Christ, one of the finest members we have in this church. Soul winner, faithful, loyal. And she said, "Preacher, someday, sometimes, I don't know how long I can make it." Two little children. She has to spend 12 hours a day or more going to and from work and working. Same night, 15-year-old girl pregnant, mother rearing three children from a wheelchair, mother with two and yet no husband, a woman whose husband, one came in whose husband left her for another woman and left her to rear the children alone. Same night, a man came in, wife and three children, no job, no way to pay his bills, no way to pay his rent, utilities turned off. "How can I make it, preacher? I don't know how long I can take it," he said. Same night, one man came injured on the job, hasn't worked a day in 7 months. Same night, a mother came with four children. Her husband died. She's left to rear the four children, asking if there's some way in the world we can help put her children in a Christian school this year. And then, same night, an older person, up in years, with an unbelievable problem, seemingly unsolvable, a burden seemingly unbearable, a question seemingly unanswerable. All of those, the same night. And over again, they asked the question, "How can I take it?" One lady said, "I cannot see how I can last much longer." I want to talk to you this morning on the subject, one day at a time. Our Heavenly Father, may I be, as I've prayed so many times through these 26 years, may I be this morning what my people need me to be. Oh, God, today, may that little 15-year-old girl that doesn't know how she's going to make it receive strength today. May that little lady with two children born out of wedlock trying to reclaim her life and rebuild it, may she receive strength today. May that senior citizen with a problem, I do not know how it will be solved. I don't know the answer. I don't know the solution. I pray you help that one to receive strength today. And all the rest of us who face the complexities, bless our message to the hearts of our people. Amen. The 88th Psalm is one of the saddest in all the Bible. In fact, I think of all the Psalms, the 88th Psalm is the saddest. Don't look at it now. But go home this afternoon and sometime take your Bible and turn to Psalm 88 and read the pathos and the heartbreak in Psalm 88. Please do not read it now. Look this way now. Heman, H-E-M-A-N, is the author of the 88th Psalm. Now follow me carefully because this is the foundation of what I'm going to say. Heman was an old man at the time he wrote the Psalm. For years he had been involved in the administration of the government. He, for years, had been an advisor, a counselor, to the king. King David, perhaps. King Solomon, for sure. And now King Solomon is gone. His son, Rehoboam, succeeds him on the throne. Heman was an advisor. King Rehoboam, as you remember, sought the advice of the older men. Then he sought the advice of the younger men. And he accepted the counsel of the younger men. When he did that, the older men who had advised the king heretofore were without a job, without jobs. Heman was one of those men.
Haman is an old man. And now his job is gone. His purpose for living is over. The new king has let him go. Not only that, but his country is dividing. He is in darkness, he says. In fact, he says three times in verse 6, he says, "Thou hast laid me in the lowest pit of darkness, in the deeps." In verse 12, he says, "Shalt thy wonders be known in the dark?" And in verse 18, he says, "Lover and friend hast thou put far from me, and mine acquaintance into darkness." He said, I can't see my hand in front of me. I'm in darkness. And he said, the only way I can make it, turn this down just a bit, please. The only way I can make it, he said, is, in fact, I'll read it for you. He said, "Mine eye mourneth by reason of affliction. Lord, I have called daily upon thee." What he says there is this: Lord, I can't see my hand in front of me. I'm walking in darkness. My friends have forsaken me. I'm an old man. I'm unemployed. I don't know how I can face the future. Haman said, here's what I've done. He said, "I have called daily." And in the original language, it says sort of like this: "I have called on thee one day at a time." He said, that's the only way I can make it, is just to take one day at a time. You know, I feel sorry for the older people in this country. And the older I get, the more sorry I feel for the older people in this country. But I mean, we put them on the side and on the sideline and retired them at the peak of their lives many times, and the zenith of their usefulness. And Haman was that way. He said, I don't know how to face it. I just don't know what to do. He said, I can't even see my hand in front of me. And somebody said to Haman, how did you take it? And Haman said, I took it one day at a time. David said much the same thing in the dark hour. Psalm 119, 133, he said, order my steps according to thy word. He didn't say order my journey, order my steps. He didn't say order my life, order my steps. He didn't say order my tomorrow, order my today. He said step by step, Lord, give me this step, and then after I take that, give me the next step, and after I take that, give me the next step, and after I take that, give me the next step. I'm talking this morning to thousands of people. And behind every breast this morning and every face, there's a heartache. May I say to you what David said? Ask God to order your steps one at a time. David said, Psalm 119, 105, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. First, he said, before I can say it's a light to my path, it's a lamp unto my feet. And this building this morning is filled with people in the dark. And you don't know, you can't see how you can take it. Look, this lady said the other day in a wheelchair. She said, Brother Howes, what do you think will happen to my children if I become an invalid? Can you mothers imagine that? Can you imagine having three little children, no husband at home? And you can't walk? I mean, confined all the time to a wheelchair. And I mean, she's been rearing these kids for several years like that. And she said, Preacher, what will ever happen if my children, if I'm bedfast, if I'm an invalid, what will happen? But lady, I tell you what you do. You just live it a day at a time. You get up in the morning and say, Dear God, help me today. Help me today. I'm thinking of a little lady in our church, one of the finest ladies we have. Well, I'll just tell the name, Mrs. Mitchell. Mrs. Judson Mitchell, she has a disease that she doesn't know what's going to happen to her. You know, I don't know why we complain if we can get up and walk and be healthy and eat three good meals a day. I don't understand it. Precious family, wonderful husband, lovely lady. She said, Preacher, I just ask God to help me rear my children, and sometimes I don't see how I can make it until they're grown. You don't have to make it till they're grown. Just make it one day at a time. I'm trying. Somebody said, I'm talking this morning in this room to a father with cancer. Children to support. He doesn't know if the cancer's growing or not. He knows they did not get it all when he had surgery. And he said to me, Preacher, if I can just have strength enough with these two hands to support my family.
see how I can do it. You don't have to see how you can do it, dear Father. You just do it one day at a time. A widow whose husband was snatched. A married man in college, wondering how you can make it through college, how you can get your college education, how you can make it for 4 years. You don't have to know how you can make it for 4 years. Just make it today, one day at a time. A weeping senior citizen said to me just the other day, I don't see any future. You don't have to have any future. God's not a future God. I mean, Moses went to God and said, God said, I've got to go to Pharaoh. You told me to go to Pharaoh and say, let my people go. And Moses said, whom shall I say? Send me. And God didn't say, tell him that I will be sent you, or the I used to be. God said, tell him that I am sent you. God's the present tense God. Strength for today is mine all the way, and all that I need for tomorrow. My Lord knows the way through the wilderness, and all I have to do is follow. Strength for today. In Exodus, we won't turn to it, but in Exodus chapter 16 and verse 4, Moses was told by God, gather a certain rate every day. Every morning, I'll rain down manna from heaven and tell the people to go out and get a day's supply. If they get more than one day's supply, the second day's supply will spoil. Except the day before the Sabbath day, go out and get 2 days' supply because you can't gather on the Sabbath. But you gather one day at a time in the building of the temple. In Ezra chapter 3 and verse 4, it says, keep on working, folks, quote, as the duty of every day required. In Psalm 68 verse 19, who daily loadeth us with benefits. And in the Lord's Prayer, give us tomorrow our daily bread. Oh no, but give us this day. And what he means is, give us today, day by day, our daily bread. You don't have to have tomorrow's strength. Tomorrow's strength will be here when tomorrow becomes today. But you've got to have today's strength. One day a doctor told the patient in the hospital room he had a serious illness. The patient said, doctor, how long will I have to stay here in the hospital in this bed? And the doctor said, just one day at a time. Just one day at a time. Is there an illness this morning lurking in your body? Is there some one this morning, and of course I know of dozens of someone this morning who in this room have cancer or some other illness lurking in your body. Is there an illness? And you say, preacher, I don't know how, I can't see my way. I'm in the darkness like Haman was. Okay, then just live one day at a time. I remember that little lady down in Texas years ago. I went over to see her and she said, preacher, I've got a little boy to rear. A little boy playing there on the floor must have been 2 or 3 years of age. And she said, preacher, I've got a boy here. And I just got back from the doctor. And the doctor says I have inoperable, incurable cancer. And the doctor doesn't give me many months to live. And preacher, nobody to rear my boy. My husband's gone. And I just say, I have a job. And I've got to work. And I've got to rear that boy. And so she said, preacher, I can't make it. I said, just try it one day at a time. Next morning she got up and she said, dear God, I ask you to help me to be strong enough today to go to work. And to help me to be strong enough to do my work and help me to have strength to rear my boy today. Now she said, I'll take matters up with you again tomorrow morning, but I just ask you for today. Next morning she got up and she said, dear God, I don't know what's going to happen to me, but give me strength today. Help me to have strength to do my work today and help me to have strength to rear my boy today. God, help me today. Now, Lord, I'll see you tomorrow morning, but I'll take it up with you again, but I've got to have strength today. And the next morning, she got up and she said, dear God, I just ask for strength for today to do my work and rear my boy. Well, hallelujah, that boy's grown and married and has a boy of his own now, and that woman is still living one day at a time. One day at a time. My Lord knows the way, sing it through the wilderness. All I have to do is follow. My Lord knows the way through the wilderness. All I have to do is follow. Strength for today is mine all the way, and all that I need for tomorrow. My Lord knows the way through the wilderness. All I have to do is strength for today. Strength for today is mine all the way. Are you wondering this morning how you can rear your children? Rear them today. Is there a sin to hound you today? And you say, preacher, I'm bound by a sin and I cannot give it up. And preacher, I want power over the temptation. I want strength.
to resist the sin. Preacher, help! I don't think I can live the rest of my life without it.
How about giving it up today? How about getting up in the morning and saying, Dear God, this sin that hounds me, give me victory today. Oh, God, give me victory today. And tomorrow morning, get up and say, Dear God, this sin that hounds me, give me victory today. And the next morning, get up and say, God, today. It's one step at a time. You're not gonna walk down this aisle and say, I'm going to give up my liquor bottle the rest of my life. You're not going to do it. I mean, you just get on your face in the morning and say, Dear God, You're my God, and You're my Savior, and You're my strength, and You're my power. And Dear God, I've got this awful sin that tempts me and lures me. Oh, God, give me strength today. And then when you go to bed at night, next morning you wake up, get up and say again, Oh, God, give me strength today. I'm talking this morning to some students in Howells Anderson College. I'm talking about young ladies, and many of them will be back in a few days. I could have an army of 100 young ladies walk up to this platform 2 weeks from today, and I could have them, and they'd tell you the same story. They'll say, Brother Howells, we're going to Howells Anderson College. We don't know where the next payment's going to come from. They come to my study on Wednesday night, and they say, Preacher, the bill's due in a few days. And I say, Is it due to tomorrow? No. Go to college tomorrow. Well, preacher, in a week, I gotta have a payment. Okay, then go tomorrow. Can you go tomorrow? Yeah, go tomorrow. Go tomorrow. I often tell them, just sit there. If Dr. Evans, just say, I'm not leaving until Evans comes bodily and puts me out in the street. He'll do it. He's mean as a booger man. But I could listen. I could tell you young ladies that tomorrow, that this week we'll start teaching in Christian schools across this country. I could point to pastors' wives and fine Christian young ladies all over this nation who went to college, walked in the college and halls of Howells Anderson College without one dime. And they said, Oh God, help me today. And the next day, help me today. And not one day in their college could they see you over one day at a time. That's the way you live the Christian life. That's the way you bear your burdens. That's the way you bear your temptation. That's the way you overcome sin. That's the way you get your food one day at a time. I've heard my little mother with an empty cupboard many, many a morning. I've heard my little mother get up and say, Oh, God, I pray You'd feed my boy today. Today. Just today. We don't have anything. And I've seen my mother again and again and again. God bless her memory. I've seen her again and again and again. Get set at the table, and not one thing on the table except two old plates and two old forks and two jelly jars or peanut butter jars for glasses, and not a bite of food in the house. And I've seen my mama say, Son, we're about to have lunch. Let's bow our heads and thank God for the food. And I look around, I didn't see any food. And my mama would bow her head and say, Dear God, put some food on this table. Feed my boy today. And thank You for the food we're about to eat. And I never bowed my head. I kept looking for the food we're about to eat. And I've seen it again and again and again. I know what I'm talking about. I've seen it again and again and again. And while my mama was praying, I've heard folks knock on the door and say, We've got some food for the house, family. I know what I'm talking about. I live that way. I know. Is there a cupboard there today? Ask for today's food. I've seen my mama take that sack of food, put it on the table, and spread it out. And while I was eating, she'd clap her hands and dance around the table shouting and praising God. She'd say, You asked me, she'd say, Did you shout and praise God? After I ate. I shout better on a full stomach than I do an empty stomach. Are you wondering how you can finish school? Don't wonder. Wonder if you can go today. That's all you need, today. There's only one day today. Tomorrow is today. Tomorrow, yesterday was today. Yesterday, all you have is today. Jesus said, before Abraham was, I am. And Paul said in Hebrews 11, now faith is, not faith was, not faith will be, faith is. You claim strength for today, victory over temptation for today. You claim sustenance for today, provisions for today, power for today. Are you wondering this morning how you can finish school? Is there seemingly an unsolvable problem? Just hang in there today. Just hang in there today. Somebody said, Preacher, how can you be so intense every Sunday? Ask me that for the day. How is it that every Sunday you can be so intense? And And why is it that you say to us, now this is important. This is life-changing. How can you be so intent?
How did it? Why? And this is God's truth. Every sermon I preach is always my last. The last thing I prayed before I walked in that door this morning is the last thing I pray every time I walk in that door. Oh, God, help me to preach this morning with the fervor and sincerity that I'd have if I knew this is the last sermon I ever preach in my life. May I testify this morning? May I not preach for a few minutes, and may I just testify? My heart is warm because of 26 blessed years. How good God has been. When I was a little boy, and this is old stuff to most of you. When I was a little boy, I was nervous. My daddy was the alcoholic of the neighborhood. My mama was almost 40 when I was born. My daddy was the neighborhood drunk. He was called that. My mama had to work for just whatever she could get to keep us from starving to death. And I was a nervous kid. As a kid, I had very high blood pressure. Every time I was absent from school, the school would call and say, "Is Jackie boy okay?" His blood pressure, my blood pressure would go way up 200, and I was just a little boy. Just a kid. And I got nervous. And I remember sometimes during church, Brother McElroy, my preacher, would have stopped the service. And I was a 10, 11-year-old boy at the time. I'd be crying. I don't know why I was crying. I'd break up the whole service. I mean, I just would. Just cry. I didn't know why I was just crying. My mom would take me out, and Brother McElroy would say in his house, take Jackie boy out of camp. We'd go home. I can remember we'd go home during the preaching service, and I'd cry. Nobody ever took me seriously. They called me little Jackie boy. I was 92 pounds when I was 17 years old, my birthday, 17th birthday. I decided to join the paratroopers. I grew from the 17th year, I grew from 92 pounds to my present weight of 135. And then there's the other leg, too. But I grew to 135, really. Now I weigh more than 135. But nobody took me seriously. I didn't go with the girls until I was 17. I was too little to make any of the athletic teams in high school, though I was a sports lover. But I decided to join the paratroopers. And to be quite frank with you, folks laughed at me. Jackie boy, a paratrooper, jumping out of airplane. They laughed. And I remember I said, I'm going to do it. On that first day of paratroop training, we had to run a mile. On the second day, we had to run 2 miles without stopping, counting cadence. Up, two, three, four, up, two, three, four, and so forth. And on the third day, we had to run 3 miles without stopping, up and down hills, highway, run. Fourth day, 4 miles. Fifth day, 5 miles. Sixth day, 6 miles. Seventh day, 8 miles. 7 miles. Eighth day, 8 miles. Ninth day, 9 miles. Tenth day, 10 miles. We had to do 90 push-ups every day with a full field pack on our back. We had to do 25 push-ups with our right hand only. That's back in the days when servicemen were men. But I remember the first day of paratroop training, I had 103 fever. I guess, stomach flu. But I wanted to be a paratrooper more than I wanted to be anything in the world. I wanted to go back home and show those big old guys back home used to whip me, I could whip them. I wanted to show them I could be a paratrooper. And that first day I had 103 fever, and I ran most of the mile vomiting. I mean, just throwing up. I could have found my way back to the barracks. Just throwing up. And then I fainted and fell face down in my own vomit. I was about 100 yards, I guess, maybe, from the finish line. I didn't make the finish line. I couldn't be a paratrooper. The sergeant came, and you can't believe how mean those guys were in those days. He kicked me in the ribs and woke me up from my slumber. And he said, "Soldier, in this outfit, when we quit running, we crawl." And I got on my hands and knees and crawled in my own vomit the last 100 yards. But I made it. And I can recall praying, "God, help me to just take one more move one more time. Help me just one more time." one more time. And I can recall many times in those runs we'd run, 10-mile runs. The first mile or two, they're always the hardest to me. I can recall, I said, Lord, help me to take one more step. Just one more step. Just one more step. I didn't say 9 more miles. Good night. No, one more step. That's all. One more step. Just one more step. That's the story of my life. I'm not by nature a brilliant man. I'm not by nature a talented person. But bless God, I can take the next step. Somebody asked me the other day, when they walked out of my office late at night, they said, you sit in here and listen to things like this all night. I said, yeah, that's right. They said, how do you take it? And I smiled and said, I take it one step at a time. And that's the way you can take it. I can't tell you, little lady in a wheelchair, or will I discuss whether or not you can rear those three kids at all? I can't tell you. I can tell you this. You can do it today. I can't tell you, little lady with two children and no husband. I can't tell you how you're going to make it throughout the whole rearing, but I can tell you, you can make it today. And I cannot tell you, dear senior citizen, facing the sunset years of life with a problem that's unsolvable that your preacher cannot even dream how can be solved. I can't tell you. But I can tell you, you can make it today. Today. Strength for today is mine all the way. And all that I need for tomorrow, my Lord knows the way through the darkness. When I can't see my hand, He knows the way. And He's all that I'll need for tomorrow. How can you make it? Day at a time. Our Heavenly Father,